All right, let's take our Bibles and turn back to Proverbs 21. I'd like to pick up here where we left off on the last service. I'd like to look at verses 13 to 19. We began our study in the first message concerning the deliverance of God's people from the vicious captivity of false religion, that brawling woman. And now let's continue. Just let's pick up right here at verse 13. The scripture now is proving the point between verse 9, better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house, and verse 19, it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. And all these verses in the middle, between those two verses, prove those points right there. Verse 13 says, in proving why it's better to come out, why it's better to not stay, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. All who stops their ears at the cry of the spiritually poor, all who refuse to satisfy the need of the spiritually poor, all who refuse to give them what they so desperately need, they shall cry in due time, for what Scripture says, and shall not be heard. Let me ask you this. What is it that the brawling woman stops her ears against? What is the greatest need of the spiritually poor? What do you need, what do I need right now, more than anything else? Here's what we need. We need to hear the gospel preached again. That's what I need. Don't tell me, don't try to tickle my ears. Don't try to glaze things over and tell me that I'm doing really well and I'm doing. Don't, no. You tell me one more time, not only how Christ has put away my guilt in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you tell me one more time how God's keeping me. You tell me one more time how there's therefore now no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus, because I'm going to be real frank with you. I've seen enough rebellion in my heart since I was preaching this morning to put 1,000 worlds in hell. And I know this, but for the grace of God, I'd leave. But for the grace of God, I'd go back to that brawling woman. But for the grace of God, I would embrace the lies of this world's false religion. So don't stop your ears. When the stopping of the ears, you know, I refuse to hear. When Stephen was preaching to the Jews, when he told them of the grace of God and God's purpose to save his people, brought out a whole group of people out of Egypt, but in that group, there was some elect. There was some elect in that group. And they didn't die in the wilderness. God brought them into the promised land. And Stephen told them about them. And what did they do? They stopped their ears. They came and gnashed on him, on Stephen, with their teeth and stoned him. I'm not going to hear that. What is it? How do they stop their ears? Well, hold your place in Proverbs and turn over to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. I made mention that there's going to come a day when He's going to call all men to Himself, the day of judgment, separate the sheep from the goats. Now this is what's happening. It's just a picture of what's going to happen. Look at verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, and He shall sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He'll set the sheep on His right hand, goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, fed thee, thirsty, gave thee drink? Saw thee a stranger, took thee in, naked, clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Now what did they do? Scripture says the Lord said to the ones on His right hand, the sheep, He said, I was hungry. He said, when you've done it unto the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. What He was saying is, my brethren, therefore I, union with them, I was hungry for the bread of life, and you gave me meat. You told me about Christ, the bread of life. I was thirsty, and you, faithful to the preaching of the gospel, told me of the water of life. You gave me drink. I was a stranger, an alien and a stranger to the covenant of promise, and you took me in. You joined yourself to me and associated with me, telling me of the haven of rest, the place of security. You told me of myself. You preached the gospel. I was naked. You clothed me. You told me of Christ and the robe of His righteousness that covers the spiritual nakedness of a sinner. I was sick from the crown of my head to my foot because of the fall in Adam. And you visited me. You gave me relief, telling me of the great physician. That's what you did. I was in prison, bound in trespasses and sins. And you came unto me, telling me of the strong man who led captivity captive and deliverance to the captives of sin. Oh, and you didn't shut your ears to the cry of my people. That's what you didn't do. You didn't stop your ears. You preached the gospel to them. And therefore, you did that to me. That's what He told Saul of Tarsus. Why are you persecuting me, my people? When someone stands in a pulpit and they do not preach the gospel of God's grace in Christ, message of sovereign, saving, electing, redeeming, regenerating, and keeping grace, grace, grace. When they don't do that, they stop their ears against the cry of God's people that says, tell me the truth. I said, nope. I'm going to do it. All that stop their ears, though, to the cry of the poor. All who refuse to feed the spiritually hungry and thirsty and strangers and naked and sick and in prison. Here's what the Scripture says back in Proverbs chapter 21. It says, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he himself shall cry himself. He's not going to be heard. He's going to stand in the day of judgment. We've read that. Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils. We did many wonderful works in your name. He'll say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Look at verse 14, 15. He says, a gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom, strong wrath. The gift. There is a gift. There's a gift for God's people. It's a reward to His sheep in Christ. What's that gift? Listen to this. For by grace are you saved. Now here's the gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. But this gift has got to be given justly. Justly. This gift of life everlasting must be given justly, and here it is revealed to be in a secret. A gift in secret. Now this precious, that word secret right there, if we just took it at face value, if we don't look up the words, I always encourage, look up words. Look up the words. The only way we're going to understand that scripture. That word secret, look it up. This is what it means. It means a covering. Look up the word secret. A covering. A shelter. To conceal. A hiding place. Here's God's gift. He gives life eternal. But how does He give it? He gives it in a secret. He gives it in a hiding place. He gives it in a covering. He gives it in a shelter. In Christ Himself. The shelter in the time of storm. The covering. Now like that umbrella. You know, that atonement. That's what it means. How does He give it? He gives it. It says that a gift. The gift of life in secret. What does it do? It pacifieth anger. Well, whose anger's got to be pacified? Not mine. Not yours. God's anger. God's anger. Because of man's rebellion has been pacified one way. When I see the blood. Soul that sinneth is going to die. And here's the glorious message of life. You tell me one more time how God's gift to me. Don't tell me that I earned it. Because if it's a gift, then I didn't earn it. If I earned it, then it wasn't a gift. That was a reward to me. I was due that. But if it's a gift, something that I did not deserve, and it's been given to me in secret, in a covering, in a shelter, in a hiding place, and He is the secret. That secret that this world knows nothing of. I thank Thee, Father, that You've hidden these things from the wise and prudent. The world by nature doesn't know this, but You that know Him, You know it. Here's the secret. Here's the hiding place. And what is that joyful message? God's anger has been pacified. He's not mad. He's not mad. He hadn't been mad eternally. His anger was pacified from before the foundation of the world. Oh, and that which the secret did. Oh, what a blessing. Look at verse 15. It's joy to the just to do judgment. Now that word just right there is the just one. It's joy to the just one. It's joy to Christ to do right judgment. It was joy to the lawful and righteous man, Christ Jesus Himself, to accomplish God's judgment, God's verdict, to show mercy and compassion. Lord said, I'm going to have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'm going to have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. It's not Him that runneth. It's not. It's God that shows mercy. But Almighty God had a will. This is the Father. This is my Father's will. That all that He's given me, I should lose nothing. And it was a joy to Him. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. It was God's will to show mercy, and it was the joy and meat of the Lord Jesus Christ to put away the sins of His people by His own blood. And they're safe. Safe in Him. But I'll tell you what else. I'll tell you something. The one that's been called out from that brawling woman, he knows this. The latter part of verse 15. But destruction shall be to the works of iniquity. I know that. I don't want to see anyone perish. But I can tell you this. I know this. If a man or woman refuses to bow to the God of this Bible, set forth through the message of this Bible, the gospel of this Bible, I know this. It's going to be their end. Destruction. Destruction. Verse 16, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Where is he going to go? He's not going anywhere else. He's a man that wandereth, is found to be deceived, that errs out of the way of life, out of the way of the wise, the instructed, the prudent, the regenerate. He who walks and wanders after his own way, thinking that he's done something for God, that he's pleased God. What am I going to do to please God? The only thing that pleases God is God. That's it. I'm going to have the Lord to do something for me that I can't do for myself. Verse 17, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. He that loveth pleasure. Now I'm going to show you something. Hold your place there and turn over to Judges 16. While you're looking at Judges, turn it over to Judges 16, verse 13. I'll say this. He that Scripture says that loveth pleasure, loveth, my margin says sport. He that loveth sport. What pleasure? What are you talking about? Well, Judges 16, verse 13 gives a good understanding of what that's talking about. He that loves pleasure. Look at Judges 16, verse 13. I believe I've got the wrong one. I'll tell you what I'm looking for. I've written down the wrong. It's when Samson was taken. It's when Samson was taken, and it's in this. Hold it, verse 23. I'm sorry, verse 23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Now that word right there, rejoice, that's the same word that we see back here when it says that he that loveth pleasure. What it actually means is this. All those that love the pleasure or have the joy or the sport of declaring that their success. Samson was a judge. He was God's judge. He was God's man. Strength, you know, was revealed in his hair. Delilah deceived him and he cut his hair off. He couldn't do anything. They took him, took his eyes out. You know, God delivered Samson into their hands. He was bound up and, you know, and they rejoiced. What they were saying was this. They were mocking God, saying that Dagon, our God, delivered this rebel, this so-called master of strength who was God's man. Dagon actually delivered him into our hands. And what happens is, he said, he that loves sport in giving a false little g god the credit for their salvation, for their deliverance, from their enemies. He that loves that sport is going to be a poor man. He's going to lose. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The wine of that harlot, the wine that made drunk the kings of this earth, that intoxicating beverage of false religion, he that loves the wine of that false religion, they're not going to prosper. He that loves the oil you're talking about, he that loves that oil, that anointing, whenever David was set apart by God, by Samuel, he said, "You pour the oil, the anointing on him." Man by nature thinks that the anointing of what he calls the Holy Spirit, the little H Holy Spirit, he that loveth the wine and the oil of rebellion, he's not going to be rich. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. Now actually, is that last verse we'll look at, I'll read the last verse, but just verse 18 right here, actually what it's saying is that according to the justice of God, Almighty God is going to render unto every rebel against Him, everybody, every rebel that has stood in opposition to Him, every rebel that has stood in opposition to His people, every rebel that has stood against His gospel, everyone that has stood against His purpose and His will, the wicked is going to be brought into those troubles which they designed against God's people. Everything that, remember when Haman was going to hang Mordecai. Remember Haman in the book of Esther? What did he do? He built the gallows. Because Mordecai, God's man, had stood against Haman. And Haman, who thought he had the approval of the king, you know, of course in the process of time, God revealed to the king what was really going on. And Haman was just a rebel against God. Haman had built these gallows. He was going to hang Mordecai. But what happened? Who got hung on those gallows? Haman did. God revealed to him what was happening. Here's what it's saying right here. The wicked is going to be a ransom for the righteous. Everything that was purposed by the Egyptians against the people of God. Listen, Isaiah 43:3, "I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. The Lord in absolute justice gave to Egypt, to Ethiopia, and to Seba, enemies of God's people, exactly what they deserved and they had purposed against God's people. They wanted to destroy them. And what happened? Almighty God poured out His wrath upon Egypt with the plagues that in turn they might get mad at the Israelites and let them go. God delivered the Israelites, gave Egypt exactly what they deserved. Egypt was going to keep God's people in bondage. I ain't turning you loose. Pharaoh said, "I'm not. Who's the Lord that I should serve Him? I ain't letting them go. I got these servants, these slaves." This is the attitude of false religion. And Almighty God has set forth the wicked are going to be the ransom for the righteous and the transgressor for the upright. What all false religion says right now against God's people, "I despise you because I despise your God. I despise your message. I despise you because you believe it." That's what the Lord prayed. He said, they're in this world. They're not of it. This world hates them. And what's going to happen? God's going to give exactly what the wicked has purposed against God's people. That's what they're going to get. That's what He's saying. So in closing, verse 19, it's better to dwell in the wilderness. It's better to dwell in the wilderness of this world. I'll tell you that temporarily. Separated in a world that you're not of. It's better to get out of that than with a contentious an angry woman. It's better. God's people know that. The regenerate, they know that by experience. They know it, and they agree with it. It's better. Where would you rather be right now? Would you be satisfied somewhere where man was honored and everybody was told how good they are, how holy they are? And God wants to. Would you rather be there, or would you rather be somewhere where God is honored, Christ is exalted, and God's people are made in themselves to be abased, and in Christ they see all their hope and glory? A believer would say, "I'd rather be in the tower. I'd rather be on the corner of a rooftop than to be in the house with that brawling woman, that angry and contentious woman." By the grace of God, we're here this day, hearing the glorious message of saving grace, electing grace. May the Lord bless it afresh to our hearts again, for Christ's sake and our good. Amen. Okay.